Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 3. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about John 18, 25 through 40. You can find show notes at 10weekbible.com/John Week 9. Welcome to the podcast and thanks for joining me today. I encourage all my listeners to read the book of John once a week for 10 weeks as we go through this. You really will be amazed at the benefits you get from repetition in reading this over and over again. Before we get started today, let's pray. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear from you, from your word? Would you speak to us today? Give us revelation of you. Enlighten our hearts, God. We want to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into John. I'll be reading from the NIV today. This is John 18, 25. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Now let's pause there. Peter is having a rough night. Yesterday on the podcast, we talked about the amount of just raw emotion Peter must be feeling at this moment. I mean, here he is there to defend his Messiah. And in their understanding, the Messiah was going to rule and reign as a warrior king on the throne in Jerusalem. And Peter was ready to die for him. He's ready to swing his sword, and he cuts off this guy's ear in the garden. And Jesus rebukes him, stops everything, picks up the ear and puts it on the guy's head and heals him supernaturally. And then he allows himself to be hauled away in chains, basically. And so now Peter is inside the court area where the high priest and everybody, the Sanhedrin, are convening to have this sham of a trial against Jesus. And Peter's having to figure out, does he really want to associate himself with Jesus anymore? He has to have felt betrayed. It might have been partly fear. Maybe it was mostly fear. But I have to imagine there's something going on in Peter's head where he's wondering in himself, does he really want to be associated with Jesus anymore? He still wants to see what's going on. He wants to see what happens. He wants to try and hear what Jesus is saying, but he's not sure if he wants to be associated with him anymore. So that's what's going on. But then we have this moment here where Peter denies Jesus the third time, and then a rooster crows. And I wonder, you know, throughout the book of John, John gives Peter a hard time. It looks like he ribs Peter quite a bit here and there, and we'll see some more of that yet to come in the book. But here, John does not point out something that the other gospel writers do, is that when this rooster crowed, Jesus just happened to be being led away from one place to another, and he just happens to walk by Peter, and they lock eyes. Peter denies Jesus, this rooster crows after the third time, and Jesus looks in Peter's eyes. And right at that moment, Peter realized, oh my gosh, this is the Messiah. He is everything he said he is. Peter didn't know what to make out of it at that point. None of it's still making sense, but Peter realizes exactly who Jesus is, and he comes to his senses. The other gospel accounts tell us that Peter went away and wept bitterly after what he had just done. This momentary weakness, this momentary decision, do I want to follow Jesus or not? And Peter goes away when this happens. This is a watershed moment for Peter. And I think every one of us have probably had something like this in our lives. If we've followed Jesus for any amount of time, we've probably had a moment like that where we've said, I feel a little betrayed. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happened. I don't know why things have gone this way. I don't know what's wrong. And it leaves us to that point, that moment of decision. Do we really believe he is who he says he is? Even though things aren't going well, they're not making sense. Do we want to follow this man? And I pray that all of you listening, if you haven't had that, that you'll come to the same conclusion that Peter did, that so many believers after him did, is that it doesn't all have to make sense right in that moment, but he is who he says he is. Back to verse 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. So, pause right there. Pilate is the Roman bureaucrat in charge of governing and keeping the peace in Judea. The way the Roman government had established things here is when they took over, they granted the Jewish leadership the ability to govern, self-govern themselves to a point. The Romans didn't have any desire to get involved in all the Jewish laws and rituals. They didn't understand any of that. They just couldn't make heads or tails of it. They never could. It always befuddled them. The Roman rule over Judea was very much like Russian rule over Afghanistan, or you know how we see the Middle East now is no one can tame them. They're this untamable people, and the Jews at this point were very much the same. No one got them. The Romans didn't understand them, and they were untamable. They just didn't fit in. And so they were allowed to kind of govern themselves by their religious laws, but they weren't allowed to put people to death. They weren't allowed to hold civil court or criminal court over different people if it was matters of theft or things like that. And so the Jewish leadership here, very conveniently, I'll add, say that they don't have the right under Roman rule to put anyone to death, even though many times throughout the book of John, we've seen that they've picked up stones to stone Jesus when it's convenient for them, take quick justice, and it never worked. But here, when they find it convenient, they bring Jesus to Pilate to have him crucified. And that's the kind of death Jesus was talking about, that he was going to hang on a tree, the curse from the Old Testament, that anyone that hangs on a tree is cursed. It's not by coincidence that crucifixion just happens to exist right now. Pilate, on the other hand, don't confuse this man. He is an anti-Semite of anti-Semites. He hates the Jews. He hates this station he's been given. The Roman governorship was there as kind of like the Roman bureaucrat in charge. The Herods had been granted kind of some form of rulership over everything, but they still kind of had to operate in concert with the governor, the Roman bureaucrat there in charge of everything. And so Pilate is the one that they've brought him to decide his fate. So back to verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. So Barabbas was a legitimate criminal here, and they're asking for Jesus to be crucified and Barabbas released. I think this is a sad moment in the Passion story. that Jesus, the one who came to save these people from their sins, is turned over to be crucified. The most heinous, horrendous death. But I also find something very remarkable about this story. We know that Jesus is the pure, spotless Lamb. He is the atoning sacrifice to end all sacrifices. He is the one true and final sacrifice for our sins, that we don't have to live under the system where a sacrificial lamb has to be sacrificed once a year and his blood atone for our sins. No, now we have the pure and spotless Lamb, Jesus, who is about to atone for our sins in the story. But also in the Old Testament atonement sacrifices, there were two lambs. There was the pure spotless lamb that would be sacrificed and its blood spattered on the altar for our sins. But then the elders of Israel, these 70 men, were to gather around this one scapegoat, as it was called, lay their hands on the scapegoat and proclaim the sins of Israel on the goat and then send them out into the wilderness. They would release the goat to symbolize the sins being scattered away from them, that they were atoned for, and now the sins were taken away, as God says, as far as the east is from the west. And here we have, in wonderful symbolic fashion, Barabbas is that scapegoat. He's a legitimate criminal, and he's being released as the atoning sacrifice atones for our sins. I find this an amazing bit of symbolism, and I find it beautiful what's going on here in the midst of the tragedy. I find it beautiful. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm glad you joined me. As always, I really appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. I read everyone, and I appreciate the feedback. I'd also love to hear from you on my Facebook page. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.